In John, the 14th chapter, we're going to start our text in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let us look, Lord, in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're so thankful for this opportunity to be here and to worship you. And Lord, we're so thankful for each and every one that is here. Lord, just ask that as our thoughts and our hearts turn to you, Lord, that we may truly want to know you and to seek you. And Lord, as we listen to your words this morning and the things that you were teaching your disciples, Lord, that we may take and apply it to our life, Lord, that we may be better servants for you. And Lord, if there be any here this morning that has never called upon you and has never accepted you as their Savior, Lord, that this be the day. Lord, I ask your forgiveness of the sins I've committed against thee, and ask all these things in the name of Jesus.
We have been looking at John, and if you remember in the 12th chapter and starting in verse 12, Jesus last week before his death, he comes in and the triumphant entry, they lay palm branches down, and he comes in and this is his last week. And so that's what we've been talking about. And then the last sermon I preached, we talked about in John 13, the Lord's Supper, and he washes the disciples' feet. And so now we're going to transition from the Lord's Supper, from the upper room, from Jesus washing his feet, and in that same night, at that same meal, at that Passover, Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, the ceremonial meal that he gives his church to do this in remembrance of me. And then we have Jesus leaving the upper room and going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's what we're going to look at for the next 2 weeks. And this morning, we're going to look at chapters 14, 15, and 16. And I know it's like, oh, no, you know, that's a lot of material. Actually, we're going to look at the big picture. There's some great things. We could do lots of sermons in these three chapters. But it's kind of interesting that these three chapters and how they're presented. So I want to do them as a big picture. And we're going to talk about the things that Jesus presented his disciples the night he was arrested. The topic that I've given my message the title, The Way You Know. And this is a phrase that Jesus uses. In John, the 13th chapter, verse 38, at the end of the 38th chapter, John 13, the 38th verse. At the end of the 13th chapter, Jesus, there after he washes the disciples' feet, he says, all of you will be offended at me this night. And then he goes on and he talks about Peter and the fact that Peter is going to deny him before the cock crows. And the reason this is important is because John does not tell us when the supper ends and when they end up in the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells us when they get to the garden. But John gives us chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. All of this dialogue that we don't know where to place. except when we compare it to the other Gospels. Now, we know at the end of chapter 13 that Jesus tells Peter that he is going to deny him. Now, when we look at the other Gospels, and we're just going to look at Matthew, but both Mark and Luke also deal with this. Now, when the supper had ended, the Lord's Supper, right? And if you look in Matthew, the 26th chapter, it's starting in verse 26, where we literally, that's where I read when we as a church take the Lord's Supper. And in the last verse we use there, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So it's kind of interesting that Matthew and Mark and Luke just says, okay, when they sung a hymn, they go to, or they're going towards the Mount of Olives. And in the process of this going to the Mount of Olives, these other three gospel writers tell us of this event that happens on the way to the garden. Because if you look in verse 36, it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane." And there he's going to pray. We're going to look at that event in a couple of weeks. And so what happens in verse 31 through 35 is what happens between the upper room, the Passover, and Jesus praying in the garden. And the event that all three record is this: "All of you shall be offended because of me this night." You're going to be offended. And it's kind of interesting that he goes on and Jesus says that I say unto thee that this night, in verse 34, to Peter before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. This incident, when we look at the other Gospels, we know that it takes place from the upper room in a dialogue as they're walking from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so he tells them that all are going to be offended. He tells Peter that you're going to deny me. The other thing that is really fascinating in there, he says, look at verse 32. "But after I am risen again..." So he says you're going to be offended and you're all going to be scattered. And he has been telling them that he's going to die. He's going to have to be put on trial. And he's given them great detail. And here he says in verse 32, "After I'm risen again." And he says, "I'm going to meet you in Galilee." It's kind of interesting. Jesus meets them in Jerusalem in the upper room. He's with them two or three times. And then Peter gets frustrated and he says, "I go fishing." And some of the other disciples go with him. And he meets them where? At the Sea of Galilee. And it's there where Jesus confronts Peter. And Peter starts to get it. And so it's kind of interesting that Jesus lays all this out. And the reason this is important is because that between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane in John, if you read John 13:38, that's where Jesus says, "Peter, you're going to deny me." We know they're already walking, right? And so what we have is John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Because it's not until the 17th chapter or 18th chapter that Jesus gets to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so John gives us these four chapters from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. It is a dialogue that he has. And so they're not just walking. And it's kind of interesting that as we look at this, the map of Old Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives is here. And it overlooks the Temple Mount. And the upper room, we don't know exactly where the upper room was, but it was somewhere in Jerusalem. And so they left the city and they walk up to the Mount of Olives. So this here is the old city. So somewhere here, and then they walk up, and this is a huge valley. Now, I can tell you that when we were there, we walked from the Garden of Gethsemane, from the Mount of Olives, down to into the old city. And it took 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Didn't take more than an hour. It's not more than a mile or so. It's not that far. This is a pretty steep canyon. Most likely, if they came up this way, one of the things that says we'll look at in a couple of weeks, they cross over the brook Kidron. So the idea is they probably came down along this way. This is where the brook is. If you go this way, it's a different way. So they probably came this way, but they could have come this way. When we walked it, we came up through here, through Stephen's Gate. But it doesn't take very long. And if you were to read chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, it might take you 30, 45 minutes. It wouldn't take you very long. But here's the thing that's really fascinating, is Jesus knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to be arrested. And what I find fascinating about these chapters is that there is great urgency for Christ. At the Lord's Supper or at the Passover, there's things that he wanted to do. He washes the disciples' feet. He institutes the Lord's Supper. And as he's walking, there's things that he wants them to know about. There's things he wants them to hear. And what's interesting, that there's seven main things. Now, there's a lot of things that are just a verse here or a verse there. But there's seven things that he says more than once in multiple verses. And I want to talk about those seven things because how important they are to us. One of the things it says, but he says, and all of you will be offended because of me this night. And there's a verse, and it must have been in John, and I don't think I had it written down. And he says, I will not be offended in you. A kind of interesting thought. So the very first thing that I want us to understand, that in John 13, it also talks about this, that Jesus was worried about his disciples. And the very first thing he talks about, he says, he prophesies, he warns them, you're going to be offended this night. Before this night's over. And Peter says, Lord, it won't happen. Lord, over my dead body. Lord, I will die with you first. And what does Peter do before the night's over? He's offended. He denies him three times. And the Lord gave the prophecy that before the cock crows, before the rooster in the morning sets off and awakes everybody, you will have denied me. And Peter's like, I can't imagine a scenario where I will ever deny Christ. I will ever be offended. I will ever break and do something detrimental to my relationship with God. See, I think we're like the disciples. We can't ever put ourselves there. And oftentimes we find ourselves offended at God because of what happens. It wasn't about their relationship. It was about what God did. And what God did, they didn't understand. And they got offended at God. Have you ever had God do things in your life you don't understand and get upset with him? Think about that. You know, if I was to ask you, will there ever be a time in your life where you would not be faithful to God? You might think, I'm committed. But you know, these issues are steps. It's not like here, deny him now. It's like there's things that happen, there's circumstances that happen that we couldn't fathom. Peter couldn't imagine being in the circumstances where he was. And because of the circumstances, Peter was afraid for his life. Now, that's not a reason to deny Christ. But we can understand that things happen, and we don't always understand how difficult they'll be. And the very first thing that Jesus wanted his disciples to understand is that you need to be careful that you aren't offended. That you need to be careful the circumstances that you find yourselves in, and it's not God's fault. What God is doing, God needed to do what he was doing. And oftentimes in our lives, we don't like what God does. And we get offended at it. Think about that. He warns them of their being offended. The second thing that Jesus talks to his disciples about is, if I go away, I will come again. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus says there in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. We struggle so much, and we allow things to stir us up and to cause us difficulty. And Jesus says, I know you have faith. I know you believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he goes on and he talks to them about some future things. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, if this wasn't true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And Jesus says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. What an incredible thing. One of the things that Jesus says to his disciples is, I'm going to go away. And Jesus is the one who started his church and gathered this group together and has led them to do many things, and they've preached and they've taught and they've baptized and all these incredible things that they've done. And now he's telling them, I am your leader and I'm going away. And they're like, ooh, what do we do now? Now, Jesus is going to take care of the leadership issue a little bit later, and we'll talk about that in dealing with the Comforter. But right now, Jesus wants them to know that in going away, he's going to be doing something for them. And one of the things in that he has come to do for them is to have a relationship with them. And they're like, wait a minute. We've trusted you, we've believed in you, we've had our faith in you, we're serving with you with this church capacity and all these things, and now you're leaving? I mean, all this was about having a relationship. Where are you going? And so that's where Jesus says, look, I will come again. What a great comfort. And when Jesus, there on the Mount of Olives, when he was departed up into heaven, and the disciples stood there looking, and the angels came and said, ye men of Galilee, why are you so amazed at this? This same Jesus that has been taken up will come again. And if it's about relationships, then he has to come again. And then he goes on, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. This is all about that relationship. And he's going to talk more about the necessity for us being here and him being there. And even in that separation, it's still about relationship. And he says, this is necessary, but no, I will come again. And he repeats this a little bit later on in the chapter. In verse 28, he says, you've heard how I have said unto you, I go away. I mean, it's interesting, some of these things he said on this walk. Remember, he's walking through the streets of Jerusalem and walking out of the city, and they're walking up the side of the Mount of Olives. And as they're walking, he's talking. And he's already talked about this, and then he's talking about some other subjects. And then he says, you heard when I said I am going to go away and come again unto you. In verse 28, he says, if ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I. Yeah, if you understand what this is all about, if you understand how that I loved you and I've come from the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oftentimes we don't understand God's plan and it gets us in trouble. And this whole idea about this understanding, in verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world, not that kind of peace. And then he goes on, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I tell you, I got to go away. I come again. The third thing that Jesus talked about, the way you know. As he said, I go away and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And in verse 4, he says, where I go, you know. You know where I am going. And he goes on in that fourth verse and he says, and the way you know. I'm going to the Father. He made that really clear. And he says, and the way, the directions, the how to get there, you know. Now remember, he's talking about lots of things. He's done lots of things. He's just knelt down and washed their feet, and they're disturbed. He says, one of you is going to betray me. And he said, whoever it is going to dip sop. And Judas and him did this ceremony, and Judas leaves, and they're like, what's this about? And now they're... and then he takes the Passover and he institutes the Lord's Supper. He does something totally different. And now he's saying, I'm going away. And he says, and you know. And Thomas says, Lord, I don't know. Lord, we know not, verse 5, where you go. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, if anyone's going to know the way, it's got to be you guys. And Jesus gives them the answer so they can understand what he's talking about. And Jesus saith unto them, I am the way. The way to what? See, this is... if you get nothing out of this sermon this morning, I need you to get this. Because we have to understand this. If you're here and saved, if you're a church member, I hope you know this. I hope you know the way. And if you're like Thomas and saying, I don't get it, listen up. And if you're here and if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you don't know where you'll spend your eternity, you need to listen to this. Because Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus says, I'm going to my Father. You know the way. And Thomas says, we don't know. And Jesus says, okay, just to refresh your course, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he goes on, so you understand what he's talking about. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where's the Father? In heaven. So what he's saying is, if you want to be with me in heaven, if you want to spend eternity with God, if you want your destiny to be changed from hell to heaven, you have to know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. And I every time I hear Brother Hayes, and he preaches this verse a lot, and he knows the Greek really well. He reminds us, it says the way. In the Greek, it's a very definite word. And it's literally the definite article. And it means the way, the truth, the life. It doesn't mean a way. It would really change that verse, wouldn't it? If Jesus says, I am a way, a truth, a life, it would mean he was one of many. But by phrasing it the way he does, he says, I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only life. And he goes on, he says, to reinforce that if you want a relationship with God the Father, if you want to see God the Father, if you want to spend eternity with God the Father, no man cometh unto the Father but by the way. I am the way, Jesus says. And the fourth thing that he talks to his disciples about is prayer. And what's really fascinating about this is that he's going to the Father, right? He's going to prepare a place. And later we learn in the New Testament that in going to the Father, he literally sits down at the right hand to mediate for us. To take our petitions and by asking in the name of Jesus, he then turns to the Father and makes our request known on our behalf. He intercedes for us. And so when he talks about it is better for you, it is good for you, I need to go away, and that it's about a relationship, that I go away, in that the relationship doesn't end when he's away. He's still in the relationship in that he's mediating for us. We have direct access to Jesus. And he says this to his disciples, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I am there to work on your behalf, to mediate to the Father for you. And he talks about this in chapters 15 and in 16, that in the latter part of verse 16, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you, because Jesus is mediating to the Father. And I don't have time to read all these verses here, but again, in chapter 16, these verses talk about that from now on, you just have to ask. And in verse 23, and in that day shall ye ask nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father's name, he will give it to you. Or the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So Jesus encourages them to pray. The fifth thing that Jesus talks to his disciples is he reassures them about his going away, because they're all upset about he's going away. And he says, it's necessary, it's better, because when I go away, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And so he talks to them about the Holy Spirit as Comforter to the church. And he in chapters 14, 15, and 16, this is where we find 90% of what the Holy Spirit as Comforter is. And it's kind of interesting that at this point, they have Jesus Christ as their leader. And he says, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you leaderless. And in this short little time, he gives the church 90% of the information that we need about the Holy Spirit as Comforter. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, someone else to be with you. And that was Jesus' role here during his personal ministry with the church. And he says that he may abide with you, or may abide with you forever. Verse 17. So what is this that he's going to pray? What is this Comforter that he's going to have the Father send? Even the Spirit of Truth. whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. I really want you to get this part of the verse. If you get nothing else about the Comforter, get this part. But ye know him. This Holy Spirit that I'm talking about is not a stranger to you. What is different is the role in which I'm going to send him. There's three different works of the Holy Spirit, three different roles of the Holy Spirit talked about in the Bible. One is he convicts the lost. Two is he quickens, makes alive those who ask Jesus to save him, and indwells the saved. And the third thing is he is comforter to the church and indwells the church. And Jesus says, but you know him. This person, this entity that I'm going to send to you is not a stranger. Look at what he says. He dwells with you, or the Greek literally says in you. He's already in you. Who are these people? They were saved people, weren't they? You know him. You already have a relationship. Romans, the chapter, tells us that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're what? A child of God. It is that Holy Spirit that saves us, that quickens us, that bears witness that we're a child of God. And then he goes on and he says, and this Spirit shall be in you, talking about the church. And we see this happening on the day of Pentecost. And the church isn't to go witness. Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem. You're not to act individually, but you're to act as a body. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon the church as a body to lead you as a church. And one of the things that is interesting, that when we talk about the Holy Spirit that indwells us, we look in Galatians, the 5th chapter, about the fruit of the Spirit, and then about the Holy Spirit that is comforter to the church. That is 1 Corinthians 13th chapter that remains. It is the gifts of the Spirit: faith, hope, and charity. And Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. But in chapter 14, a little farther, he says, but the Comforter, if you're not sure who it is, Jesus says, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit. And he says, you already know him. He's in you already. And he goes on, he shall teach you all things. This is a church thing. Paul tells Timothy that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. This is the Holy Spirit as Comforter. And in the 15th chapter, the Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit does for the church is lead us, and ye shall bear witness, allows us to be a witness of who Christ is. And also truth, and testify of me. The sixth thing that Jesus shares with his disciples from the upper room as he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane of the Holy Spirit. I want to read, I guess I didn't get these verses in there, John 16, verse 8, what the Holy Spirit will do, starting in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And this is why Jesus says it's so important in verse 8. And he will, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In verse 14 it says, and he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So this Holy Spirit as Comforter in the work of the church is very, very important, and we understand the distinction, as Jesus said, he dwells in you, and on the day of Pentecost, he will be given to the church in this capacity. Now, the sixth thing Jesus talks about, he tells his disciples, keep my commandments. In John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, demonstration of your love for me. If Joyce asked me to do something I didn't do it, what would that tell her? I wasn't listening. What if I never did anything she asked? What if she said, this is really, really important, and I just blew it off? Wouldn't at some point that show that the relationship isn't very important? Jesus says, if you love me, if this relationship is important, and Jesus is defining the relationship, he says, I'm going away. I know it's scary to you, but when I go away, there's some things I'm going to do. One is, when I go away, we're still going to be in communication, because every time you pray, I'm going to act on your behalf to the Father. And oh, by the way, when I go away, it's really better because I'm limited in this physical body, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit that can lead and guide you as a church in a way that I couldn't do. And he goes on and he says, in our relationship, if you love me, obey me. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. There's a promise there. There's a promise of reward and of obedience to the church. What's going on there is obedience and serving God. In John 15, 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is about relationship. It is about love and obedience. And the seventh thing in closing, Jesus in John, the 15th chapter, verse 1 through 8, and I'm just going to read a couple of parts of these verses, talks about our abiding in him, remaining faithful to him. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's kind of interesting, Jesus gives us some things that are really important to him. Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit then dwells us, and the Holy Spirit is comfort of the church. The word of God is kind of important in our walk. And then he says in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. Verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It's about that relationship. What kind of relationship do we want with God? And he shows this in the 8th verse. Herein is my Father glorified. Jesus said, I've come to glorify God. I'm leaving you here, he says, to glorify God. This is how it's done. That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How are you doing abiding in Christ, bearing fruit, being his disciples? In closing, these seven things that Jesus warned or wanted his disciples to know, his church to know, and seven things that he wants us to know, being offended. Do we get offended at God when he does things we don't understand? Do we know that Jesus will come again? Do we understand that Jesus is the way? Do we understand that he is just waiting at the right hand of God to act on our part when we pray to him? Do we understand the importance of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit as comforter? Do we know that we should be obedient to him and keep his commandments and abide in him. If the pianist and song leader will come forward. Jesus, as he left that upper room, and as he walked, he talked, and he shared with his disciples seven things that he wanted his disciples to understand about his relationship with them and what he wants them to do in serving him. We need to heed these things and apply them to our life, and how are we doing in our relationship with Christ and the seven things that he shared? How are we doing in our life as disciples? Are we bearing much fruit? Let's all stand. What page?